It's the Carney Show on the Big 550 KTRS. John and his family are off on vacation this week. I am Paul Harris, proud to have the headphones on and rolling through a couple of hours here in the middle of the day in the middle of America. Today through Thursday. Later in the week, my guest will include a researcher who says he's figured out how to grow vegetables on Mars, which is important because he's part of the Mars One project that wants to send people on that one-way mission to Mars in the next 10 years. I'll also be talking with Mike Sexton, probably poker's greatest ambassador, the host for 15 seasons now of the World Poker Tour, and the author of a book about his amazing life called Life's a Gamble. And lots of other stuff as the week rolls along, and I'm glad to have you listening here on the Big 550 KTRS and following me on Twitter at Paul Harris Show. Wendy Simmons has written one of the most remarkable books I've read this year. It's called My Holiday in North Korea, the funniest slash worst place on Earth. Normally you don't hear the words holiday and North Korea next to each other. But that's where Wendy, who is an inveterate world traveler, she's been to 85 different countries, she found herself there back in 2014 for a 10-day vacation, if we can call it that, and writes about it and has some great stories in this book, and I've invited her here to share some of them today. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I really, really enjoyed your book, partly because I got to go to Moscow in the Soviet Union when it was still the Soviet Union back in 1989. Sure. And so I saw part of the world of people who were never happy, who lived in a gray existence, and who were not exposed to much of the outside world. But compared to what I saw, they were in the freest land ever compared to what you had in North Korea. How do you get permission to go on vacation in North Korea?
You know, it's this funny thing because it's not as difficult as people think, or at least it wasn't in my experience. It's not illegal. You just have to work through one of the few agencies that exist, mostly I believe they're all in Beijing, who really help facilitate all the logistics and help secure your visa through the Korean International Travel Company, which is based in Pyongyang. And it was a fairly simple, straightforward process. You have to choose your entire itinerary every single hour of every day you're going to be there before you'll be granted a visa. And you're not actually given the visa until 24 hours in advance. So there's a little bit of chance you take flying to Beijing, not knowing for certain that you'll be allowed in. But once you're in, you're in. It's the getting out, I think, that's a little bit more problematic for some.
Yeah. The good news here is you're able to tell the story not from behind bars.
Correct.
And by the way, considering how snarky you are in your book about your experience, I think you're very lucky not to have ended up in some hard prison time there.
Thank you. Well, you know, I was very well behaved while I was there and very respectful, in as much as one can be when you're being fed lies on a daily basis. But, like any place I travel, I try to be a good citizen of the world and respectful of the rules. And in this case, it's not just yourself that you risk having, getting in trouble, but also the guides that are assigned to you.
The handlers, as you call them. And I know, again, I know a little bit about that because when I was in Moscow, I had a guide who I was 100% sure was KGB. And you had...
I don't doubt it.
and you had two handlers who essentially were government employees who were there to limit what you could see and what you had access to, right?
100%. And more than that, they're meant to inculcate you into the belief system. So more than just preventing you from seeing things, their job is to convince you of what you're seeing. It's like joining a cult. They talk at you nonstop, promulgating the belief system that is their leaders are God, that their country is the greatest place on earth, and that nothing you're seeing or hearing that's contrary to that is true.
I just want to read a passage from your book in the chapter about normal people. You say this is about when you were getting on the metro in Pyongyang. You say, mm-hmm. From what I've been told, normal people must work Monday through Saturday. Sunday is their day of rest, but they have to do volunteer work that day for the party. Now it's mid-afternoon on a Thursday, and this metro is packed. And since there are no dry cleaners or shops or banks or other errand-type places, and the only let's-do-lunch crowd in town is me, I'm hard-pressed to understand exactly who all these normal people are. So I asked my handler, why aren't they at work? And she said, they are. And then you said, then why can I see them? And she said, yes.
That's about it, yep.
And that's how your relationship went with the handler. Anytime you wanted information, you got no information.
I got very little to no information. It's very true. It was very frustrating. You know, I went to North Korea to learn about the country. And the same reason I go anywhere in the world is to understand the culture and how people live and to get a taste for someplace new. And that was rendered nearly impossible by not just my handlers, but by everyone that you encounter in North Korea. They have, you know, a propaganda script and to stick to, and they do a very, very good job sticking to it. It's really hard to get to the bottom of the, you know, the truth of anything there. You know, people either believe it or they're too scared to say anything to the contrary or some combination. And in my experience with my handlers, I can't speak for everyone's experience, but in my experience, they either didn't tell me the truth or they didn't answer the question. Those were basically the two choices.
And in many cases, you were not sure if what you were seeing was something that was put on just for you and other tourists or was part of their everyday life. That is, until you went to a soccer game. Would you share that story, please?
Sure. So it was a Sunday afternoon when I learned that my scheduled activity for 9 o'clock Monday morning was canceled. And so my handler, the older one, had suggested a litany of activities I could do, and none of them sounded particularly compelling. And then she sort of mentioned soccer game, which is, you know, football. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. And the look on her face is just like horror. And she kept saying, are you sure? And I said, I'm absolutely sure. So a flurry of phone calls later, probably an hour of, you know, very urgent sounding phone calls, she looked at me and said, you're in luck. There's a professional soccer game tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on Monday, which seemed like excellent luck. And
yeah, one luck.
When we arrived at the football stadium, she turned to me and said that there wouldn't be a lot of normal people there because it was Monday morning at 9 a.m., and she was right. This was an actual, you know, football stadium, like a regular-sized, enormous, you know, 60,000-seat football stadium, and it was me and about 40 other people. And at halftime or, you know, midway through the game, like most times in North Korea when I would arrive any place and there was no one there, a huge swarm of people showed up, walking in lockstep in military uniforms primarily, and very curious what I was doing there, probably as curious as I was about they were. So it seemed very staged, you know, the fact that there was this game at all and that there was no one there until about halfway through the game.
Okay, so are you saying that you think that nothing was actually planned for that field that day, but because this American, or as they always called you, the American imperialist. Because you were given the option of seeing a soccer game and accepted it, you think that some soccer players were suddenly rousted out of bed early the next morning and told, show up at this field and put on a game?
You know, this is the conundrum that makes you feel like you're a crazy person because it seems absurd. You know, in what country in the world would go to all this trouble for anyone, let alone a single tourist? But that would appear to be what happened, as far as I could tell.
All right, now let's talk about what life is like in Pyongyang, or at least life as you witnessed it in Pyongyang. What are the hotels and the restaurants like?
So, you know, Pyongyang, you have to understand, is the showcase city for North Korea. This is where diplomats and foreigners come, and as a result, when you first arrive there, you could easily mistake it as someplace somewhat normal. There's, you know, tall, beautiful buildings and wide streets and such. But when you start looking a little bit closer, you see that the majority of buildings are dilapidated and in inferior shape, and that's where most normal people live. If you see a gleaming, shining, tall skyscraper, it's usually empty, or at least from what I could see, it was empty. And, you know, when you're driving around Pyongyang, it's not as if there's a bustling streetlight and stores and people coming and going and movie theaters. None of that exists. It's just empty. And, you know, there was no restaurants and stores and bars and this kind of thing. When you ask, of course, they tell you there are. But the restaurants that I was brought to were not restaurants. They were, I called them fake restaurants. We'd arrive, it would be a giant room with tables, but there would be a place setting for just me, and the rest of the tables would be empty. Or it would be me and maybe, one other tourist or, a tourist group or whatever the case. And, there's no menus. They would just bring you out the food. And it's not a normal city in any stretch of the word. There's just not a normal life going on there. The people don't have money. They don't have freedom of movement. They can't just walk out of their house and, catch a bus downtown and go to have drinks with friends at a bar. So, or go to the grocery store and walk up and down aisles and pick things off of shelves. It's nothing like anything you would recognize as a normal life.
When you're in your hotel room.
People in Pyongyang are the ones who are the most, the most fortunate and the wealthiest of anyone else in the country.
Yeah, that's the best place to be in the country, and it doesn't have any of that. When you were in your hotel room, did you have Wi-Fi?
No, there's no internet. I mean, there may be now. I was there 2 years ago, but there was zero outside communication. And that was and that is the case for the majority of North Koreans. There's no, I couldn't use the telephone. There's no internet. I was, a hermit. I was in.
So you had your cell phone with you, but essentially you used it to take pictures.
I used it as a flashlight primarily, to tell you the truth, because there's no electricity anywhere.
There's no electricity.
Yeah, everything is turned off or burned out. I would exit the elevator onto my floor in the hotel, and it would be pitch black. I was the only one on my floor, and it would just be, I don't mean like kind of dark, but, with a little bit of light so you could see, it would be pitch black.
Please tell me that they had toilet paper.
Most places did not. That's sort of a recurring theme in the book. My hotel room had toilet paper, mostly, but no. When you go anywhere around the country to a public toilet, there would be no toilet paper, no running water, no electricity.
Do they have radio? Is there music?
No, there's, it's propaganda stations. So for the average North Korean, there are state-run television and state-run radio that is piped into the homes, and it's all propaganda all the time. So they're not, they're not like listening to radio. They're listening to a warbly voice that is screaming propaganda. And in a lot of the homes, it's piped in like you can't turn it off. Or, when you're walking around Pyongyang, it's blasting from speakers, or walking around any of the other towns.
Wait a second. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a home, it's piped in so you can't turn it off?
From what I understand, this is what I was told. It's just, it's part of the propaganda machine.
Wow. Okay, so so these people who have been inculcated with America is horrible and responsible for everything bad in their life, who have nothing, they have no running water, they have no electricity, they have no internet, they have no movies, they have no music, they have nothing to entertain them. How do they treat you?
Well, first of all, that's the majority of North Koreans. The people in Pyongyang, depending on your position in the party or the government, you have a better life. To what extent your life is better, I don't know. But for example, my younger handler, she had seen some movies in college, and there was a Chinese soap opera that they all seemed to like. So I think to varying degrees, your life is better or worse, but it's not great regardless. Most people don't like you. They really don't like Americans. They have a very negative impression. The difference being, for example, we may be told over and over that a certain population or a certain country has malintentions, but we have lots of different news sources we can read. We may know people from those countries. There's lots of different points of information from which we can form our own opinions. But for the people in North Korea, for the average citizen, there is no other information. There is no other news source. They're not talking to people who have come from other countries and can give them differing opinions. There is only what the government has told them, and they're therefore very much victims of their circumstances. So when they see me, they have only known me as the enemy. That's it. That's what they were taught in school. That's the history they were told. That's what they hear every single day from television, radio, and so forth. And there was real animosity. With my handlers, I think it was more complex because the world that they've grown up understanding is, somewhat crumbling before their eyes. The more foreigners that they're talking to and foreign media and so forth that I'm sure they're exposed to as part of their training is telling them otherwise. So there's probably some struggle within them. And anyone interacting with me and the other tourists has got to have this you know, this impression sort of falling apart. But for the average person, you know, they don't look at you, they don't say hello, they don't smile, they don't talk to you, and there's a real dislike and distrust.
You were there when the news broke about the Seth Rogen, James Franco movie, The Interview, in which those two essentially have to sneak into North Korea and try to kill Kim.
Right. It was bad timing for me, yeah.
Yeah. As I said, you were there when that story broke. What impact did it have on your trip?
Well, I think it really scared my mom, who was back home hearing the news.
Yeah.
For me, I heard the news because I happened to be in Pyongyang that day and saw it on the television, which was shocking, to say the least.
Hold on, Wendy.
Yeah.
You just
finished
telling us that there's no information from outside anywhere, and you said you saw this on TV.
For foreigners, in the main hotel for foreigners, they happen to have BBC.
Oh.
So I saw it the day that I was in Pyongyang. Although they ran the story once and then did not ever run the story again. So I guess, after the story ran, the TV sort of, like, went to black.
Okay.
But... no one knew that story ran. So there wasn't any change in the way people treated me. It's not as if anyone in the country knew what was going on, or that movie existed or anything else. So it didn't have any material effect on my trip. What did have an effect on my trip was the day that I arrived, which was I arrived in the afternoon, and the next morning they declared war on America as merciless retaliation over the movie. But the day before when I arrived, my handlers kept telling me it was the day that the American imperialists invaded North Korea, which was actually the day that the North Koreans started the war. So, history had rewritten itself quite a bit. But.
So the Korean War, which was begun by the North invading the South, they're told it was the day that the United States invaded their country.
Right. Which was, bad news for me since I arrived that day.
I have to ask you about the picture on the cover of your book. I actually read the story inside, but I want to have you share something about it, because it is the picture of a bride and a groom on their wedding day, if in fact it was their wedding, because you are not sure of anything that happened while you were there. These are the two unhappiest people who have just been married I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. They were, I don't know if they were as unhappy about marrying one another as they were about me being there in fairness to them. I was thrust upon them with a camera, and she was not pleased. It was a wedding purportedly at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and all the guests arrived in their street clothes, and work shorts and such. So, again, your guess is as good as mine whether it was a real wedding, but... I was told I'd be able to, witness this real married couple and so forth. And like everything else, I was sort of given 4 seconds to take a photo and then kind of pushed out of the restaurant where it was taking place, coincidentally where I was having lunch. But the bride sort of started this whole thing for me, which was a list of things I thought might be real. And the look that she gave me was unquestionably a real stink eye. So she was inaugurated as the first thing that I thought actually might be real in North Korea.
That's the picture that's right there on the book, which is called My Holiday in North Korea, the funniest/worst place on Earth. One last question for you, Wendy.
Sure.
What North Korean food do you miss?
Well, the chocolate bars that I would buy at the gift shop weren't bad. But aside from that, it was not the better food I've ever tasted.
Yeah, I've never heard...
And I'm a big fan of Korean food, but it wasn't so great in North Korea.
I have never heard anybody say, let's go out for North Korean food tonight.
It's not the best food.
This is an amazing read, and what an adventure you had there. And we've only touched the tip of the iceberg of stories that you have here. Once again, My Holiday in North Korea, the funniest/worst place on Earth. So much fun to talk to you about this, Wendy. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for having me on.
Wendy Simmons here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.